Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. There was a Swiss tourist who was traveling through the country of Chełm in Poland and looking for directions, and he pulls up to a bus stop where Chaim and Jochel are waiting. Entschuldigung, können Sie Deutsch sprechen? He asks. Chaim and Jochel just stare at him. Excusez-moi, parlez-vous français? He tries. The two continue to stare. Parler italiano? No response. Hablan ustedes español? Still nothing. The Swiss tourist finally drives off frustrated, and Chaim turns to Jochel and says, you know, maybe we should learn a foreign language. Why, says Jochel? That guy knew four languages, and that didn't do him a bit of good. Well, I'm going to share with you today about a controversial subject related to languages, and that is the subject of speaking in tongues. And I know this is a subject where you might think, well, what's the use of this? Why even talk about it? What good is it going to do me? But what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. The reality is that many Christians are uninformed when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes our image of the gifts of the Spirit are based upon an image we've seen on TV where they mock some of the spiritual gifts or where they kind of show them in a light that is less than flattering, shall we say. Sometimes we really look at the spiritual gifts as something that perhaps is only for Bible times and not really for our times. And so there is a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, and that is especially true when it comes to this one gift of speaking in tongues. What I'd like you to do, if you would mind, is get out your Bibles out of the pews and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's on page 1785, and that starts a few verses before our second lesson today in our readings today. So, one of the reasons why we talk about this particular gift today is because it's mentioned a number of times in the Bible. It is part of our second reading, as I said. And also because I think it's something that many people really haven't considered all that much in terms of their own Christian life. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1785, Paul begins with this verse. He says, follow the way of love. So love must be undergirding everything that you do, especially when it comes to the spiritual gifts. Follow the way of love, Paul says. Love must be at the heart of anything that we do related to the spiritual gifts. We don't use the spiritual gifts to show how spiritual we are or how much we are used or loved by God. The spiritual gifts are not to show how spiritual we are compared to other people. The spiritual gifts are to be done out of love for Christ and out of love for His people. And so he says, follow the way of love. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Paul says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So he addresses the idea of speaking in tongues, saying that if I do that, but I don't have love behind it, then I'm really just making noises. I'm really just saying gibberish. And so Paul is reminding his people that this idea of speaking in tongues is something that has to be done in love. Then he goes on to say, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I wonder how many Christians actually eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Most of the time we want to avoid the gifts of the Spirit, but Paul says to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I wonder if we would ever take time in our own personal prayers to say, Lord, would you fill me with the gifts that I need to do the ministry you call me to do? Would you give me the equipment that I need to be able to be effective in living my life for you? Maybe that might open the door for the gifts of the Spirit to be given to us as we seek them. So he says, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now we'll get back to prophecy in just a moment, but he goes on then to address the gift of speaking in tongues in verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So he says that this idea of speaking in tongues is not for the benefit of other people, not to let them know how spiritual you are or that you have a special gift or whatever, but it's really just speaking to God. And we call that prayer. So this idea of speaking in tongues really is a communication between us and God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So the Spirit is speaking through our voice as we speak in these tongues to God. Our spirit is speaking to the Father through ourselves. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Prophecy is speaking the word of God to someone in a way that comes from God, and it is for their encouragement, for their strengthening, or for their comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So he begins to get into the use of this gift in relationship to the church. And so he says, everyone who prophesies edifies the church. Everyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. In other words, builds themselves up. And so he says in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Now, why would Paul say that? I believe he says it because he himself has received this gift. He has seen the benefit of it. He has seen how it has helped him in his own private prayer life. And he understands what a benefit it can be for the individual Christian. So he says that I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless that someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So in a church service, if a person is going to speak in tongues, there has to be somebody that has the gift of interpretation. And if that person doesn't exist, then the person who wants to speak in tongues should be silent until there is someone who can interpret. And certainly, the church ultimately is to be edified in all that we do and all that we say. Paul, I think, is talking about here the fact that unless there is not only someone who can interpret, but also the majority of the Christians really believe in the spiritual gifts and maybe even practice many of them, then it's probably not a good idea to utilize this gift in church. And so it goes on to verse 13. It says, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. So if you're speaking in an unknown language, a tongue, then you might want to pray and ask God to give you an interpretation for what you have just said. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, if I pray in a tongue, I don't understand what I'm saying with my mind, but God understands what I'm saying. He says, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. In other words, I will pray in tongues, but I will also pray with my understanding. So he says that one shouldn't necessarily exclude the other, but he says if you pray in one way, then you can also pray with your understanding. Otherwise, when we're praising God in the spirit, he says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. When we sing hymns in church, most often those hymns are hymns of praise or thanksgiving or songs about the nature of God. And so, in a sense, when we're singing in the Spirit, we're doing the same thing. We're praising, we're thanking God, and we are acknowledging who He is. And so these speaking in these tongues are a way of praising God and worshiping God. Verse 16 says this, otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? So in the church, if you're speaking in tongues or singing in tongues or something like that, and a person doesn't know anything about that, is involved in the church service, how can they give an amen to your thanksgiving, since they don't know what you're saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. And again, there is the idea of doing everything that we could do for the love of Christ and for the love of His church. Skipping down to verse 18. I thank God, Paul says, that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So if Paul doesn't pray in tongues in the church, but he prays more than everybody else in tongues, where does he do that? Well, he does it by himself. In his own personal prayer life. It's something that helps him in his daily prayers with God. I'll skip down to verse 22. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. In the New Testament, we see that there are really two kinds of tongues spoken about. One are the known languages, and we see that exemplified in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost when the apostles begin to pray, and the people had come from all over the world to Jerusalem, heard them praying in their own language, and realized that these were uneducated apostles and disciples who didn't learn these languages, but they had been given a supernatural ability to speak in these languages. And so part of speaking in tongues can involve speaking in a known language. But Paul also talks about the tongues of men or of angels. So perhaps there are other tongues, other languages that are not known languages that are a part of this prayer to God. Russ Cochran tells the following story. One of my work colleagues was scheduled to take a group of people out on a camping trip. Unfortunately, this young Christian woman experienced a severe epileptic seizure on the camp and was rushed to the hospital. She went into a coma for some days and came out of it speaking in tongues and praising God. My colleague, an atheist, was so totally disarmed by this behavior that she decided to accuse me of causing the seizure. She said that I had been teaching her how to speak in tongues and that my radical belief system had almost killed this young woman. Although we had spoken about her faith, I had not caused her a seizure nor taught her to speak in tongues. My colleague, however, was not satisfied and sought to have me fired from my position. Her complaints meant that I went before the board to answer her accusations and lies. Her relentless persecution was very unpleasant. So sometimes we see that happening when someone who speaks in an unknown tongue or whatever, they begin to be accused of others of being crazy or somehow being out of line. But ultimately, the question becomes, is this a gift that we as Christians need? And certainly, sometimes people might ask the question, do I have to speak in tongues in order to be a Christian? Well, obviously, the answer is no, because Paul says, does everybody speak in tongues? And the rhetorical answer is, no, not everybody does. But there are some that do. He goes on to say, don't forbid speaking in tongues. But the ultimate question, I guess, we must ask is this something that God wants to give to me? And if it is, what would be the benefit of it? Obviously, many people have, throughout history, have testified to the reality of this gift. We've seen it spoken about in the church fathers. We've seen heard people tell about their experience throughout church history. Of course, this gift has become much more popularized through the Pentecostal movement in the 1900s. And yet, sometimes we wonder, is this really a gift for us? Is this something that God wants to give to us? I remember Jesus said one occasion, if you fathers are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so if God wants to give us something, He's not going to give us something that is not for our benefit and not for our good. So the question then becomes, how do I receive this gift if I want to receive it? And the answer is, there's no cookie-cutter way to receive this gift. Sometimes people receive it in different ways. Sometimes people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, then they run out of words to praise in their native language, and they begin to want to praise God in a different way, and they begin to pour forth with this praise in an unknown language. Sometimes the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us, as Paul says in Romans. And when the Holy Spirit fills us with the love of God, we begin to want to praise Him. And sometimes we praise Him in ways that are beyond our human understanding when it comes to offering up these praises in the forms of these gifts of tongues. And so there are many different ways that one might experience it. Sometimes someone might experience it when someone lays their hands on them and prays for them. We see that on one occasion in the book of Acts in chapter 10, that Peter was preaching to the Gentiles. And as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. Now, these tongues weren't evidence of a witness to unbelievers. These were just tongues of praise to God, showing that they had received the same thing that the apostles had received. And so when one experiences the Holy Spirit in their lives, many times this gift can come alive. Some have said this might be the doorway gift for many of the other gifts. I remember when I was in college and I was praying by myself, really seeking to receive this from God. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the love of God just kind of poured into my heart. And I just began to praise God, but not in English. And it just kind of continued on with me throughout my life. And it's been a great help, a source of strength and help to me since the 1970s. And it's really helped me, especially during times when I didn't know how to pray for something. And that really came as a big, great benefit for me during that time as well. So ultimately, this gift is one of the various gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have many different gifts that are possible for us to receive. And if you'd like to receive this gift, then perhaps you might make that a matter of prayer. Lord, would you allow me to converse with you in this new and different way? And perhaps God might unlock that doorway for you to do so. But it doesn't mean if you receive this gift that you're a better Christian than somebody else, or that you're more spiritual, or that God loves you more than someone else. It's just one of the gifts of the Spirit. Somehow we don't seem to have as much of a trouble with some of the other gifts of the Spirit, but when it comes to this gift, all of a sudden we have a real big problem. But God doesn't want us to have a problem with it. He wants us to use all the tools at our disposal to be able not only to communicate with Him, but to praise Him as well. And this is one of those tools. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us gifts of your Holy Spirit. Lord, so often we don't take advantage of those gifts that you've given to us. And there are often times where we may receive a gift and not realize that we have it. Lord, we ask that you would open our minds and our understanding to how you want to use your gifts in our lives. Lord, help us not to focus simply on this one gift, but rather on the gifts that you would like to give us. Help us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts so that we can not only be a blessing to you, but a blessing to the body of Christ. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might be open to receiving any good gift that you would want to give to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.